marriage, about sex, about raising children, and over, I mean, all from Genesis to Revelation, God's first institution was the family, and so it is the foundation for community. It is the foundation. If the family is destroyed, there goes the nation. Are you with me? Therein lies one of the major strategies of the devil, to destroy the family. And so it's something we've got to talk about, and we've got to talk about it throughout the year, and every year we got to touch on it. And so we took several weeks this year talking about that. And so right now, if you put my diagram up there for me, if you would, we've covered a lot of these areas already. We've covered everything, but not in great detail. I haven't exhausted every area, but I want to encourage you, if you're married, to get in Pastor Bob and Enda's Marriage on the Rock class on Saturday. They've got a great class there. Nothing can jack up your life more than a tore up marriage. It affects every aspect, every facet of your life. So get in there. God wants it well, and we want to help you get it well. And so the Bible talks a lot about building the house. Psalms 127, I've been recanting that verse, those verses over and over. They talk about family. They talk about community. They talk about children and the importance of doing it God's way. And it calls it the house. You know, the house, how you build the house. Jesus talked about it in a couple passages. He uses this parable. And I'm going to use this, I've been coming to you out of Matthew 7, but the same passages or the same parable is in Luke chapter 6. And so I want to show you that today. And I'm going to come to this in another time when we start talking about discipleship, because this is all a part of it. But look in Luke chapter 6, the same passages that are in Matthew chapter 7 about building your life on God's principles. It's so important. It's so important. And he tells us why here. But let's look at it in Luke chapter 6, because again, the scriptures they don't conflict. They support each other. So when you've got four gospels, you have four different views. If something happens here at church, if I ask you about it and you'd give me one story and another person would give me another view from their point of view. Same thing, and they wouldn't necessarily conflict, but they would support each other, right? And that's the case that Jesus did with the gospels. Different guys saw it from different angles, and Luke was a doctor, so oftentimes he added in a little more detail, but just because we live life through the lens that we see. Through the lens of our own heart. Are you with me? And so he's a physician, so he always oftentimes gave a bit more detail than some of the other guys did. Matthew was a tax collector, so he had a different angle on things as well. But watch here, Luke, he talks about, he says, what he writes, he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Quoting what Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Great question there, Jesus. How in the world do you call me Lord, because that's how you get saved, but you don't do what I say? And of course, this term Lord, we don't really get it here in the United States. In this our Western culture, our nation was birthed in escaping independence from this type of, from lords and kings, you know, that kind of sovereignty in a country. Y'all get what I'm saying? We escaped all that so we could have a democracy and a republic. And so here in this nation, we don't quite get this. But Lord really means owner. It means owner, landlord, owner. And so Jesus is saying, how are you saying? Because that's really what it is when you get born again. I'm calling you Lord. I'm yielding my life to you. I'm yielding everything. I'm yielding my life, my behavior, and everything to what you say. You're my Lord now. And so it lends the question, how do you call me Lord, but you don't do the thing I say? You get it? He said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like, right? Next, please. He is like a man building a house. So he says life here is like building a house. Life as a believer is like building a house. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation up on the rock. So we see this is a little bit different than Matthew said it. Matthew talked about, yes, building your house, but he didn't talk anything about digging this foundation, digging a deep foundation. And if you're going to build a house that stands, you've got to lay a foundation, but you've got to dig in the ground first. Before the house goes up, it's got to go down. Come on, somebody. And such typically is life as a believer. And this implies several things, but it's a foundation. And many of our lives, think about it, in a home, if the foundation is at fault, doors on your house may not close right. And the door isn't the problem. Walls can start cracking and stuff going on in the house, but that's merely a symptom of the real problem, which is underground that you can't see. And such as he's saying here about life, life as a believer. Many of the problems that we're facing are, we see these surface problems with children and surface problems with our marriage and surface problems with our finances and with our decision making. And he's saying it's that the foundation is the problem. The foundation is can be the problem. That's what he's getting at here. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So the foundation has to be on the rock. What's his name? Jesus. In many scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, talk about Jesus being the rock, and he was the rock that fed the children of Israel. The rock followed them in the wilderness, actually, it says in Corinthians. What? All right, long story another day. Again, it's so hard to read any of these things knowing what all of it says because it all fits together. Are you with me? He says, but watch this. He says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. The other in Matthew says he built it on sand. On sand. But here he says he built it on earth. What is he talking about? He built his life on earthly principles rather than kingdom principles, Jesus principles. Earthly principles in family do not work. Earthly principles, Dr. Spock in raising children will not work. Jesus is saying, you have to build this on what I say. I'm the one who built you. I'm the one who made you. Your foundation must not be on earthly principles, but on the principles of the kingdom. And not just the principles on the kingdom, on Jesus himself. He's the foundation that the house is built on. It must be built on Jesus. Tell that person sitting next to you, say, your life must be built on Jesus. The foundation of your career, the basis must be your relationship with Jesus. The foundation of your marriage must be that both of those individuals, husband and wife, man and woman, because that's what Jesus said. They asked Jesus about marriage in Mark chapter 10. And he said, in the beginning, God did this. He went straight back to Genesis on the foundations of things. All right? Asking about divorce. Well, Moses said, he said, what God said in the beginning, this is what it is. He gave you this letter of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. All right, all of it. Okay, all right. See, y'all see the problem with me right here. This is the problem. It's just hard to read some verses, Pastor Joe. Watch it. He says, he heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. And this is typically the case with people who are believers, who say they're believers, call him Lord, Lord, but don't do it. He's saying one of the problems is here, they hear more of the earthly principle than they do the principles of Christ. The life is built more on the worldly principles than it is on the kingdom of God, on Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. Y'all being quiet. He says, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he's saying, and another element in this whole story is the storm. He says, storms are coming in life. They're coming. They're coming to the person who heard the word and did it, and they're coming to the person who heard the word and didn't do it. The only difference is the result of what the storm has on their life. Same storm, different result based on the foundation. Built on worldly principles, earthly principles that sound good to the world. Come on, somebody. Oh, I could go so deep right here. I could go into so many things right here. But I got to stay focused because I got a bunch of verses I want to show you. Are y'all with me? Did I read that one? Yeah, okay, all right. So again, what we're talking about is building your life. And when you do this, this is what gives your life stability and success. in every area of life. So we've been talking about raising children. We've been talking about marriage, communication, forgiveness, security and trust, all these elements of a family and marriage. And then we're going to end on talking about children. There's much more. I need to do another series next year and just really talk about the arrow and the four parts of the arrow and all the stuff that the Bible says about it. I can't do it all in one series. All right, amen. But we went from Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 real quickly. Are y'all ready to learn? Now, again, this is applicable, but because of the generation we live in, because of the culture that we live in, it's imperative, even if you don't have children, even if you don't want to ever have children, even if your children are grown, it is important that you understand these things because of the culture we live in. And as a believer, it is the church as our community, it is all of our responsibility to help raise our kids. It is a part of all of us. We should all. When I was growing up in the 60s, now things have changed since the 60s, but one of my best friends, their parents could whoop us. It was just known. If you see the Stokes boys doing something crazy, you have my parents' permission to whoop us. You will go to jail for that today. But my dad, I don't know what's the statute of limitations on this. I don't know. Don't even say it. if we was getting a whooping and some other kids was at our house and involved, they got one too. And then got one when they got home to their house. If you got in trouble in school, they had a paddle. We had a paddle at school. You know, like the sorority and fraternity paddles? It hung in the principal's office. And I got in trouble one time. I don't even remember what it was for, but I got in trouble one time. And the principal himself whooped me with one of them paddles. And I was more scared to go home. Like, oh, dang, I got this here. But as soon as they find out at home, I'm getting another one. Because they understood, and that generation understood the importance of discipline and correction to children. God understands this. So let's look at the scriptures. Amen? What in the world is about this that God understands about kids that we don't? Here it is right here in the scripture. Watch this. First commandment for children in the New Testament is this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We explained all that last week. For this is right. Why did he say that? In the Lord? Because there are some parents today raising kids that they teach their kids to steal, lie, cheat, and everything else. Right? And then he says, can y'all back up to the scripture if you can? Stay right with me if you can back there. Yeah. For this is right. For this is right. Why would he have to say that? Because in the generation that we live in today, kids do not know that it's right to obey your parents in the Lord. They think they're telling them something, that they have independence. They can do what they want to. All right? Next, please. Verse 2. Next part, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Again, we talked about that last week. And here's the promise, here's the covenant. Yes, you can go ahead. The covenant that comes with that is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There's several things that the Bible talks about that will cut life short. This is just one of them. And I need to do a whole series on that. The Proverbs talks over and over about things that will cut your life short. Foolishness, hanging out with the wrong people, drunkenness, all kinds of stuff will cut your life short. Come on, somebody. And this is one of them. This is very important. Children, obey your parents. So here's a command for kids. Obey your parents and honor them. Obey and honor. Why is this so important? Because these are the foundations, again, that will help them live life. If you don't learn to obey and respect and honor your parents, you will never learn to obey and respect your school, your work. You'll have a problem. That foundation sets the right structure for living on in life and living in a society where you have to work for a living. Are you with me? So it's the first thing, and it comes with a promise. Not a promise that you won't have any problems in life. God is saying, I got a covenant with you. It will be well with you, and you ain't going to die prematurely. Come on, okay, all right. I covered all that last week. I don't want to get stuck here. All right? And then he sets balance to that. Always sets balance. And you fathers. All right, here is the number one problem in our nation right here. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Why didn't he say, hey, you mothers? Because he's expecting, if you have children, that fathers are supposed to be present. And once again, this is the greatest tragedy, the most dangerous thing to our society right there. Moms having babies without a father present. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. I know it's become the norm to just be baby daddy, all that stuff, but that is not scriptural. Now, I'm not throwing shade or putting down anyone. I'm just telling you, this is a foundation. That this is why we see today young people walking around carrying guns. Guns have been around forever. Fathers in the home aren't, though. That's something in the last, oh my God, I could go so deep into this thing, and I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm just going to tell you, the Bible is telling us here, fathers, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but then what? But bring them up in the training. And one translation says the nurture. But it's training and admonition. Training includes all types of training to be an effective, responsible, independent adult. I shared last week, again, today we're celebrating Veterans Day, and I went to Army basic training. Army, they don't call it Army teaching. They call it basic training. It's not basic teaching. They did everything. I mean, they, from training you to take a shower, because they don't assume that your mom and them taught you. From taking a shower, I mean, the dude got in a shower with trunks on and showed us, start from your head and wash down. Come on, do y'all know that kids don't know this automatically? Have y'all gone into your kids' bathroom? Have you smelled your kids after they've come out of the bathroom and said they've showered already? And you're like, hold up. How come I still smell onions around here? Like Burger King, you got, like, you carrying around some Burger King Whopper with onions. What's going on up in here? Have y'all noticed that? Kids that throw the towel down, they have to be shown how to do everything, from using the bathroom to wiping. Are y'all with me? And notice he doesn't say mothers. He says fathers need to be a vital part of this. And do you see the problem in our society then? Why there's such a lack of respect? Because, and why the prisons are so filled, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why prisons are so filled with males, and particularly, are y'all ready? Buckle up your seatbelt. African-American males, is because predominantly children, African-American boys, aren't raised by African-American fathers. They're not present. That's a strong saying. Are y'all mad at that? And so we get a society that is raised up. I mean, they've done studies about these things. And kids need it. They need a father. Girls need a father's love, a hug. Are you with me? They need that presence. And so divorce and all those things. And that's why God is saying he doesn't hate the divorcee. He hates divorce because of its implications on families, what it does. And what we talked about last week is three generations of this causes generations, that last generation, to really feel the great impact of that. David, Solomon, and then you see his sons. The whole kingdom fell in the third generation. It split. Are y'all with me? The kingdom split. It was absolute chaos. David was a great king, but a horrible father. Are y'all with me? The Bible says it. He would not discipline his kids. He never said anything that displeased them. Discipline is going to displease your kids. Let's go to the Proverbs. Let me finish reading. Training and admonition of the who? So it again, the foundation is from the scriptures. It's training of the Lord. And one of the worst things you'll do for your kids after not raising them with a father is not bringing them to church. Oh my God, that's so strong. It's so strong today. Y'all right? Just wave at me if y'all hear what I'm saying. I know it's strong. And so this is why we encourage you to get in classes like the marriage classes. Yes, storms come to marriage, storms come to raising kids, storms come in finances, storms come. So you have to build your life founded on the rock, on Jesus, so when those storms come, you don't throw in the towel and quit. So selfish you don't even realize this is going to have an impact on my kids. This is going to have a greater impact on them than me. Are y'all with me? And that's why the Bible, Timothy said it. He said, we live in a generation where the people don't care for anything but themselves. Not their kids, not their money. Not only thing they care about is their money and pride. And that's strong saying. But y'all, we as a church, we cannot be that way. Am I yelling? I promise today I will calm down. Travis, if I start screaming and hollering, Travis, just calm down. Just calm down. All right? Watch this. Okay, so y'all see that? See the focus here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And we'll get to that. So he's saying, don't beat them to death where they hate you. And I listed some things here that provoke wrath. But he says, but bring them up in the training and admonition. And that means, admonition means mild correction. Mild correction, amen? Okay, so I covered those. And today I want to go a bit deeper in what the Proverbs say about this training and discipline. Training and discipline is so vitally important. And let's just go to the Proverbs. I said it like this. There's three R's to raising children, and that is relationship, rules, and restraint. Rules and restraint without relationship equals rebellion. Write that down somewhere. Rules and restraint without relationship, and this is why it's so dangerous for dad not to be in the house, because it's going to be really hard to discipline, and they need the discipline of a man. My 30-year-old daughter said it to me. She said, Dad, we were talking about these verses and all that kind of stuff, and she said, Dad, it's a big difference when you say, hey, than when anybody else says it. She says, you got our attention. And God intended it that way. God intended it that way for men to say, hey, uh-uh. You talk to your mom like that. Wipe that stupid look off your face right there. But you can't say those kind of things if you don't have genuine relationship. And that starts at infancy. It starts in the womb. And that's why God needs a husband and wife to be together and do it God's way, so you can speak to that. I mean, come on. We would read books to Trey while he was in Shanae's belly. Be just sitting there and singing songs and playing music. And you get what I'm saying? I was there to cut the umbilical cord on my children. I was there to catch them. And I'm not bragging on me, because I've been through a divorce. Y'all get what I'm saying? I've been there. And I know the devastation of the impact of that, the implications of all that. I know that. And it's a bad thing, all right? But disciplining children, three R's: relationship, rules, and restraint. But relationship must precede rules and restraint. They need rules and restraint, but rules and restraint without relationship equals rebellion. You can put it down. That's going to happen. All right, let's go to the Proverbs. Hurry up, y'all. I love this job. Y'all learning already? Okay, anybody mad yet? Okay, I ain't done my job yet. Let me go on a little bit deeper then. Let's just read the Proverbs. That'll make some people upset. And that's not my intention, but I just know we live in a generation that doesn't often like to hear the truth. Here we are, Proverbs chapter 6. Turn over to verse 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at this. I love this. My son, keep your father's command with an S, or command? Command. What command is he talking about? Obey your mother and your father. That's the command that the Bible consistently talks about. Honor and obey. That's what it is. Are you with me? Look at the next one. It says, and do not forsake the laws of your mother. No, the law of your mother. What is he letting us know here in the Proverbs? The foundation for their success, they must know this early on, is to obey and honor. That is the foundation. That is what has to be instilled in children's lives early on. You can start training them this about when they're toddlers and two years old. They start understanding. You don't necessarily discipline, but you've got to ingrain this. You can't discipline a baby. But a toddler, you got to let them know, no. Daddy said no. Mommy said no. Don't do that. You can let them know. And their brains are just now developing the connections of association. And the Bible lets us know they've got to associate disobedience and dishonor with pain. If they never make that connection with disobedience and pain, they'll continue to do it on in high school, go talk, acting crazy and being crazy. And the Bible says it over and over, what will fix it? If they get too old for you to put, that's right, God made it real cushioned back here. Come on, somebody. Cushion back there. I know Dr. Spock people don't like this. Just sit him in the corner and talk to him. Put him in timeout. You're making the wrong connection. No, I need to talk to you. Now I sit you in the corner all by yourself. Let me explain how we got here and how we not going to get here next time. And put a little, now watch, because the Bible's going to say, let me just read the Proverbs. Watch this. This is going to explain it all. So he tells him in verse 21, bind this law, that law, continually upon your heart. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. What? Honor and obey. When you roam, when you grow up, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. What he's saying, if you get this instilled in them early, when they grow up, they'll take that with them. They'll take it to school. They'll take it at work. They'll take it everywhere they go. Watch this. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. That law will. The commandment is a lamp, and the light, the law, a light. Watch this. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Whoa. The Bible says you're never going to get away from discipline, constraint, and correction. Just because you grow up, there's still, come on, have y'all been corrected since you've been adults? Come on. Have the police ever had to correct you for speeding? I learned from other people. When I see them lights, anybody see somebody pulled over and you learn instantly? Oh, snap. Even if they go on the other way. Are y'all with me? Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Say, I'm going to have to be corrected the rest of my life if I'm going to progress. Don't think you've learned it all. That'll stop the progress of your life. Repentance is a part of life. Changing your thinking is a part of life. Oh, God, somebody didn't say amen right there, but that's all right. I'm still going to do my job. Turn over in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 13 because we're talking about disciplining your children. All right, and training them. Look what the Proverbs says about it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 in the Amplified Bible. Anybody love this other than me? I just love practical application to the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 13. So on day 13 of the month, you'd come across this verse. Watch this. He who spares his rod of discipline hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines how? Diligently, and punishes him how? Early. Do it early on. There's a few other scriptures that support that. You see it right there. But the Bible says something so important right here. He who spares the rod of discipline. And I know a lot of people in today's generation don't agree with spanking. And I get it. I get that for every person, depending on the lenses of your life, that means something different to you. And it could mean something very abusive if you were raised with somebody who wasn't raised in a godly household and didn't know how this was supposed to work. You get what I'm saying? The discipline of the rod. The Bible is just saying it always uses this rod of discipline because he doesn't want it to be your hand. God wants your hands to be associated with hugs and kisses and gentleness. So you use something different. We always use one of those paint paddles, those stirrers. And it wasn't until just recently, I walked by, we'd have it right by the door that we come into our cars, into the garage, and right there, and I walked by maybe a few weeks ago, and I said, dang, the rod is still here. And I said, Sinead, you think it's time to throw this away now? She said, no. And Trey said, yes, it is. I said, I agree. I think it's time to go. It's you've outgrown this. You would prefer this rather than me taking that phone. Come on, you want to see a kid go crazy? Take that phone. Like, no, give me a paddle in that, because that's instant and it's over with. That phone, come on, somebody. Y'all quiet in here. Amen. And there's a limitation to that, to the rod. But y'all see here, it's for early development. Typically, I think the rod, and this is my opinion here, and what I've seen in my kids, but if you use the rod correctly, correctly in a loving way, in a loving way, relationship. You built that, and you tell the child, no, don't do this. Typically, you won't use the rod initially. You'll tell them, hey, they did something wrong, but you've never specifically told them not to do that. Where the rod of discipline is used in the areas of obedience and honor. If they disobey and dishonor, now I need to correct. I've got to correct them. I've got to discipline those two things. That's the main thing. That's that law that he was talking about. But if I haven't ever told you specifically something, now I said, now listen, if you do that again, don't do that. I correct you. No, you can't say that kind of thing to your mama. You can't do that kind of thing. Here's why. Next time you do that, I'm going to use this rod on you. And so if they do it again, now you know it. I've made it plain. I've made sure. Tell me what I just said. Okay. So you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Make sure they understand. Because kids be forgetting stuff. Y'all know that. Kids, you tell them don't do something, they're like, oh, dang. You know it. Hey, we say it at our house. If it's not attached to him, he's going to forget it. I be dreading cold weather to come because now I'm going to go, I got to go back up to the school and find a jacket. Come on. Any parents know what I'm talking about? If the hat ain't on his head and stay there, it's not coming home. You get what I'm saying? If the book bag isn't attached to him, it's not coming home. He's going to sit it down somewhere. I already know. Are you getting me? So the kids forget, and you can't punish them for that. You just got to keep repeating it. Come on, y'all know that. Your kid forgot it. You don't punish him because he left his book bag. You just got to get it back in the car and start fussing again. I told you. And you're gonna have to say it. I told my son, and I told Brooke too, because I know, you know, you hear Brooke's at home too. So I know she probably thinks I'm nagging and wearing him out too. I said, listen, and I'd say it loud enough. Listen, I'm gonna say this every day till you get it. I'm gonna say every day, put that chair back up to the table, wipe the table off. Put your stuff in the dishwasher. I'm going to sit because every day I got to walk in there and I see the chair back. Oh, the chair. Kids, don't be putting stuff back. I'm tired of pushing your chair up. I'm tired of putting the stuff back in the refrigerator. I'm tired of, you got to do it yourself or you're never going to learn this. I'm tired of myself saying it. I know you're tired of me saying it. If you're tired of me saying it, do it so I don't have to say it tomorrow. But again, this is what the Bible is describing as this training and discipline. That's what he's talking about. You've got to train them to do it. Train them. I went up and I had a class in the bathroom. Okay, everybody come up here. Let me show y'all what I'm talking about. Jesse, because you don't want to accuse them because they all point at the other kids. Not me. Okay, since I don't watch y'all take a shower, let's just have a shower in class right now. Here's what you do. This is called a shower curtain. This is the decorative portion of it, and this is the portion that goes in the tub when you're showering. Why this water is coming all out here and soaking my carpets and tearing up the grout right here, come down here and look in the garage. Those spots are because you ain't putting this plastic inside of the shower. Now, let me show you how to do it right. So, everybody understand. Like I'm bothering them. I'm trying to bother you. I'm trying to get on your nerves so you want me to stop saying this. Come on, somebody. That's what the Bible's talking about. And he said, fathers do this. Sinead just fussing at me. Stop fussing at me. I got this. Like, I'm doing it. I use this bathroom down here. You get what I'm saying? Here's how you make it. And they did this in Army basic training. Do y'all know that they made us, when we went, how many of y'all were in the military? Didn't they show you how to make a bed properly? Kids now are so lazy, they just want to sleep on top of it. I don't want to go through all that problem. That's too much. Let me just lay in bed for more time. No, get up. Get under my couch. You're tearing up my comforters now. Dirtying up all my stuff. Get under the sheets. I wash that every week, but not them daggone comforters. Do y'all get it? Parents get it. Kids don't. So that's why you have to make them get it. Come on, everybody happy? Look what the Bible says here. He who spares his rod of discipline hates his son. And this is what you've got to explain to your kids. Listen, and this is the part you've got to let them know. Listen, I'm disciplining you because I love you. I love you. I don't want the police to discipline you. I don't want the school to discipline you. I want me to discipline you. I want me to do it. You know I love you. They don't care nothing about you. I love you. I love you. And so, and then we would say this. I would always, and it's hard when you really love your kids. It's hard to spank them. It's hard because you don't want to see them crying. You don't want to see them cry. You hate it. It hurts you more. So you get the pat on you, whack them a couple, because they disobey. They disobeyed. They didn't do what you told them to do, and you made it real plain. You remember me telling you what was going to happen? What's going to happen now? And I'm crying on the inside too, like, oh God, I hate this. Why didn't you do what I said? And you got to get the thing, whack, whack. Ah! They screaming like you're almost killing them, right? Right there where God has got an extra cushion. Right? Not on their face, not on their head. Now, I know you'd be tempted when they get older to say, when they start saying something crazy, you'd be one, pow! Say that again. Okay, where was I? I was only playing there. Somebody called a church, lead a church, all crazy. Pastor said you're supposed to punch your kids in your face. I did not say that. I said you be feeling like you want to punch them in their face. Okay, he who spares, you hate your kids if you don't discipline them. Watch this. But he who loves and disciplines diligently, so here we see some keys, is consistent, diligence, and punishes him early. What that means is you got to start real early with this. Don't wait till the teenager. If you try to tell your 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 16-year-old, and you ain't disciplined them at all, they're going to have some words for you. And now they're bigger than you. You see these kids? I don't know what they're putting in the chicken, but it's making these kids big in the mug. Whatever they're putting in the hormones, I don't know if they're trying to make the chickens bigger, but it's just making the kids bigger. The kids are getting big. I mean, I see them, I'm like, what, how old are you? Like 10. I'm like, what? What in the world are you giving this kid to eat? So if you don't start disciplining these kids like at 2, you get a window. You get a window, and that window is about between 2 and 10. 2 and 10 or so. They understand the rod then. They understand the rod. Trey just, like, he was 12, and I said, hey, you think I ought to get rid of it? He said, yes, definitely get rid of that. He still remembered. And if you do it diligently, you won't have to do it often. All right? They get it because it makes the connection in the brain early on. Already, if you haven't made that connection early on, when they're like 2, 3, early in those early years, 2 to 5, if they never got that and felt the pain connected with disobedience and just you talking, then you're just going to become a nag. Y'all seen Charlie Brown? You know how all the adults talk in Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. At the school, and their kids be sitting there with their big football heads, and teacher be like, wah, wah, wah. That's what you will sound like. Kids ain't listening to nothing you say. They even got their earphones in, like, uh-huh. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You don't know nothing. I know. The Bible talks about it. All right, go to the next verse. What's my next one? Punches him early. If someone has a hot, next verse after this. If someone has a hot temper, let him take the consequences. If you get him out of trouble once, you'll have to do it again. I love this verse. It's right after that verse. It says, train them early, because if you start bailing them out of the consequences of their trouble, you're going to have to do it forever. I like to say it like this. If you don't train a child early, you'll have to raise them late. You don't train them when they're 2 through 5, you'll be raising them when they're 30, 40, and 50. Call them, talk about, did you go to work today, baby? How you gonna call a 30-year-old or 40-year-old and ask him if he gone to work today? You ain't making get up when he was young. We don't have a kid problem. We got a parenting problem. All right. Y'all see that? All right. Okay. Everybody all right? Okay, I'm going to make it through these. Proverbs chapter 19. Let's look at verse. Did I do that one? I did that one already, didn't I? This one. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 and 19. Good News Translation. Discipline your child while they are young enough to learn. That says to me they can get old enough not to learn. If you don't, you are helping them destroy themselves. If you don't discipline early when they're young, they will destroy themselves. How? Drugs, alcohol, sex, premature. You get it. They'll end up having all kinds of illicit sex, having a bunch of babies that you may be taking care of. Is this too strong? Come on, what? When you're a grandparent's age, do you want to be changing diapers? Not on a regular. I mean, maybe the baby over there for a little while and you babysitting, but don't you know you love it? You take that bag, like, here you go. And you can always say, will you babysit? No. No. Proverbs 22 and 15, you all right? Come on, and put your hands together if y'all appreciate practical wisdom from God. This is God's breath. This is God speaking. Look at this one. Are y'all ready for this one? Say, my child is no different. Just a prelude to this verse right here, because I know some of y'all think, well, not my child. Let's read it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but not mine. Doesn't say that. Yours too. I can't get no help right there. This is God saying it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him, though. When you spank your little children, when you spank them, go, psh, go, did you see that? I say, what? Foolishness just jumped out of you right there. And then ask them this, is it gone yet? No. Bam! Is it gone yet? It's gone. I thought so. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. God knows something we don't know, and I believe it has something to do with the physiology of babies and the making of our brain. Amen? All right. But you can argue with that if you want to, and you can take the consequences. All right. Did we do, did I do 22 verse 6? Because some of my new notes didn't get on there. 22:6. Praise the Lord. Back up to 22:6. I had 22. Did I do 22:15? Okay, back up to 22:6. That was the one I added that I told them to put on there and to make sure it got there. Praise the Lord. 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. The way. We've talked about that before. They'll get it up there for me. 22:6. There it is. Put it in. Let me see what I got it here. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, New King James. There it is. Train up a child in the way he should go. Watch this. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've taught this wrong in the past. I've heard many others teach it wrong in the past. We've used this to say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I would even say something like, but when he's young, he may. That's not what God is getting at here. What God is saying here is that if you do it right, he'll never depart from it even when he's old. Now, don't feel condemnation about that because none of us have done it perfectly right. What God is saying, are y'all with it? There's no perfect children and there's no perfect parents. Say amen right there. None of us are. So the key here is, though, but God is saying, if you do it my way, they'll never depart from this. Come on, somebody. So that ought to tell us there's other influences that are coming in other than just ours to our kids, and we've got to make sure that we discipline them, or because all of us have seen that, where your kids go astray, they get crazy, they lose their mind. Come on, somebody. They've all done that. We've done that. How many of y'all lost your mind as a kid? I'll wait for the rest of y'all still out of your mind. You can't even, haven't even recognized it yet. I found out that crazy people don't know they're crazy. We know they're crazy. They're like, duh. And they're just crazy. It's acting all crazy and everything. Like, train up a child. Train up. That's what we're talking about. And the way he, the way, not one of the ways, the way. What is it talking about? Train them up in Jesus' way. He is the way. That's exactly right. And when he's old, do not depart from it. Did y'all see that? And we already went to verse 15. All right, let's go to 23. Almost done. 23, 13, and 14. Are y'all all right? Watch this. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou, look at this, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He's not going to die. They will act like they're dying, but they're not. So you control yourself. You just give them a couple good, one or two, you know, you get it with a little child. We're talking about discipline the little ones. Little ones with a rod. It's not, you are not going to whoop. It does not, let me just say this because I found that there's people who do this. They'll try to whoop an 18-year-old or a big old kid. Like Trey, whooping ain't going to do nothing to Trey. 13 years old. Trey is 12. But that ain't going to do him no good. He's bigger than his mama. He's starting to look up at me now. You get what I'm saying? He's coming up here. That is not going to hurt him. One day he scared me. You know how you kids be trying to jump out from the corner and scare him, and I punched him right in the chest. Because I said, not intentionally, it was just a natural reaction. I was like, ah! It's like, and he fell down. I said, don't ever scare your dad like that. You know I'm on edge, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that. If there was a gun in the house, I'd be calling 911 right now. Don't play like that. You're just glad I didn't hit you in your face. Don't scare me like that. Jumped around the corner. Bah! Y'all know me, man. I'm a little, come on, y'all. Y'all know I'm a little bit on edge. Just a little bit. In the movie, you know how in the movies they have the music and the pan? I'm like, ah! Everybody in the movie's like, I love a scary movie because I like that. I like the screaming. It's so fun to me. I love that. Ah! And Sinead's just sitting there like, that was stupid. I'm like, you're killing my fun here. I like to scream. I like that. It's fun to me. All right. Thou shalt beat him with the rod. Look at this part. And shalt save his soul from hell. That's called beating the. Come here, let me beat the out of you. Okay, y'all know I'm being silly now. But you really are sick. Now, this is under inspiration of God. God said, if you do not whip these kids, you may find them in hell. Is that serious enough to you? Come on, y'all seen the thing, and I can't even remember the name of the city now, but the kid who was 20 years old first killed his mom, then went to the school and killed 26 and 7-year-olds, kindergartners, first graders, and then killed 5 or 6 of the staff? You know, I can already tell you a few things without even knowing the details. Dad wasn't at home, number one. Number two, this kid was not disciplined. Come on, even football players who have no respect for anybody but money, when they make a touchdown, start to, hi, mom. Everybody love mom. Everybody love mom. How do you take a gun and shoot mom? How do you say something crazy to mom? If your kids say something crazy to mom, I'm telling you, that is one of the biggies in my house. Because my voice, I'm big enough that Trey has never said anything crazy to me. I'll come home and Shanae will say, Trey said what? I said, what? What? Trey, get in here. You know, and just that alone, already. His heart is soft because we dealt with him from day one. And then Sinead even said it last week. She said, wow, Trey's heart has really changed. He doesn't show that disrespect towards me. He doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Sinead's got this soft, timid voice, you know. I'm like, hey, somebody come in here. Everybody in the house is like, Hey, Brooke is just like me. Brooke is just like me. She's on edge. On the movie, if somebody, you see, hey, Brooke, like the scarecrow on the Wizard of Oz. You know, what? Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt save his, deliver his soul from hell. Write that in your Bible. Mark that. Explain that to your kids. If you don't get this, and the school can't do nothing with you, and work can't do nothing with you, and you rob, and now you're stealing and you're robbing banks, you get it? And why you catch this early on? Because you can try to explain that. Here's your little two-year-old. See, why I'm doing this, little Johnny, is because one day if you don't obey what I say, they ain't here, wah, 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 you may find yourself in jail or even hell. They're like, watch. Cut through all that. Whack. Oh! That sends a signal right to the brain. I disobey, it hurts. That's the connection you need. Are y'all with me? Okay, almost there, y'all. Almost done. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29, last one. Last proverb. Let me get this last verse and we're going. Proverbs 29, verse 15 and 17, Amplified Bible. The rod and reproof. Look at this. The rod and reproof. Not just the rod gives wisdom, and not just reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof. The rod, so this is what he's telling you right here. Watch, God is just so smart. He says, don't just spank him. You just spank a child without explaining how we got here and how we're not going to get here and how we're going to correct this. That's the reproof. You have to explain. So the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left undisciplined brings his mother to shame. Rod and discipline. So again, take the time to explain in details. Love them. Hug them. With you know, early on with Trey, when he'd get a paddling, I'd make sure. Now, the good thing about the spanking is it brings closure to the issue. It brings closure. Punishment when they get older, don't you hate it? Because it drags on. They're stuck in the house. You got to look at them all the time. It's like, dang, wearing me out too. Dang, I wish you could go out. Just all up like, you get what I'm saying? It'd be wearing you out. But with the paddle, it brings closure. And you want closure. You don't want it lingering on. You want it to know quickly, this is what you did. Here's the punishment for it. And come here, let's play and let's have fun now. You get what I'm saying? You got to hug and love so they don't get it misassociated with you not loving them or like them. You want them to know, I love you and that's why I'm doing this. And you explain all that. See, son, if you don't do this, and I got to paddle you, but now you can explain the rod and reproof. Here's how we got here because I explained to you. Remember when the daddy told you don't do this? And you did it anyway. Yes. Yes, what? Yes, sir. You get what I'm saying? And you explain all that. And you can even explain it. So this is why I have to do the paddling. Now, because I love you so much, I don't want you to do these things. Other things can really get you hurt at school. You say something crazy to some bully at school, and it could cost you. You say something crazy to the police, and you have to teach them all these things and say that kind of stuff. But it starts here at home. Say amen right there. Verse 17, same chapter. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. What does that tell you? You don't correct him, you're going to not be able to rest. Yes, he will give delight to your heart. Did y'all see that? Let me say these real quickly. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Here's some of the ways we provoke them. I'm going to list a few. This is not all inclusive. This is not everything. But physical or verbal abuse. Never put your kids down with your words. Never tell them they're dumb. Never tell them they're stupid. Always speak up to your children. Only build them up. They're not bad kids. They disobeyed. They're good kids that made a poor choice. You get what I'm saying? Physical and verbal abuse. What that will cause, that wrath will cause them to be angry at you. All right? Disciplining in anger. Never discipline in anger. Look what the Bible says about it. James chapter 1, verse 20, Amplified. It says, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God, wishes and requires. Your anger does not promote righteousness. Wait till you're calm so you can talk to your child about it. Amen? Tell them, hey, we're going to have a discussion about this. Right now I'm too angry at you doing that, so I'm going to come back tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about this or whatever the case is. Get it so you can think about it and just realize, hey, I was a kid too. I did some stupid stuff. They made a mistake. I'm going to punish him for it because I said it, all right? And it's only right or whatever. All right, y'all get that? Don't discipline in anger. Wait till you're calm. You want to correct. You're correcting, not punishing. You're correcting, not punishing, all right? spanking too hard, too often, too young, or too old. Let me talk about that. You can't spank a baby. Yes, when they begin toddlers, they start more, and they, you see them, they take this stuff from somebody, they do this, and they, I've seen them where they look at you and go, and they're just saying it, they're just testing the limitations. And you got to give them the limitation. I said, don't do that. No. You got to correct it early. But spanking too hard, that will cause them to have wrath against you. Too often. You don't just spank over everything. You know, you spank over disobedience and dishonor. Are you with? Discipline over that. Not over forgetting. Come on, not over it. Kids be forgetting. Y'all know that. They make stupid mistakes. All right? Too young, we talked about that, or too old. I really believe once you get about 10 or 11, that rod ain't working too much anymore. Tell them you're going to take something their phone, they're playing them games or whatever. Now, you can't even threaten kids with going outside now. You punish them by putting them outside. My parents would be like, you ain't going outside. Oh, no! We can't go outside. Make a kid go outside today. Get outside. You in here too much. I'm tired of looking at it. Go outside. It's like you almost killed him. Like a bike? What is that? You know that thing that I bought you? It's sitting over here in the garage? Put your butt on that. That's what, okay. Too often, too old. At some point, you got to stop. And I think it's usually, if you do it early and right, that's going to be about 10 or 11 years old. You're going to have more effectiveness by taking some of the things that are a privilege to them. Let me just say this in training too. Every child needs to learn early to be responsible with money. They need to have chores early and get an allowance. Because if they never figure that out, they're waiting until they're 16, 17, 18 to figure out how to handle money. Teach them early. Teach them early with doing chores, and then some of the things that they don't, like forgetting stuff, take that money away. They'll remember it. And let me show you how you remember. Watch that. Bam! Do it again, and I get 5 more of these dollars. Bet you they remember. Or if you take it, they'll remember again. Now you're broke. You want to teach them the world's way, give them a $20 allowance a week and say, I'm going to take 50% of that and give it to the poor dude who ain't going to do no chores. Y'all didn't like that, right? All right. I think I'm just being honored today and I shouldn't do that. Okay, let me move on. Okay, inconsistency in discipline. Oftentimes, we as parents discipline. When we're in a good mood, they can get away with murder. In a bad mood, they can't do anything wrong. We have to be consistent with it. Kids, they play on all that. They can play on all those emotions in your good and bad mood. So discipline with consistency, all right? Disciplining for mistakes or forgetting versus disobedience and defiance. We've talked about that. Yes, kids forget. You just got to be repetitive. It is a pain, but you got to do it over and over and over. When they get up from the table and walk away and don't push the chair up and say, push that chair back. Hey, I've had them come downstairs. I'm sitting right there. Hey, who left this chair pushed out? Get back down here. They upstairs doing something. No. Come back down here and push this chair. That's the only way they're going to learn. He said, I don't care about the chairs. Well, that's why your house is all tore up. I like mine in order. I ain't going to tear up my stuff. Where was I? Here's one thing that'll cause your kids to bring them to wrath. Disciplining in public or in front of other children. Don't do that. Because that embarrasses them. That puts them to shame, and you know that you don't want that. You want to talk to them. If they've done something in front of their friends, now you want to say, hey, look, we're going to deal with that right now. Come on, let's talk about that. And pull them away from them. You get what I'm saying? It's really painful because then kids start picking on them, and then you become the enemy. Do that in private. Are you with me? Amen. Discipline them in private. Praise them in public. Jesus said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Said it to the entire public. And the Bible's teaching us, fathers, praise your children in public. Praise your wife in public. Praise your spouse. But disciplining must be done in private, all right? And even in front of their siblings. You know, talk to them. They do stuff. Now their kids will learn because they'll see them crying. Their siblings will learn because they see them crying. But you don't want to make them feel bad to their sibling, all right? Neglect, any type of neglect, obviously that's going to bring them wrath. You get one of the worst things you can do to your kids is just ignoring them. And that's why I don't like time out, because it's like they're put in the corner and like, I'm not going to talk to you, don't talk to me. Don't do that. Don't talk to your kids. When you miss it in sin, you need to talk to God more than you need to be ignored by God. God, talk to me, help me. I need to know you love me. I know you need relationship there more than ever, all right? Last one, and this isn't all-inclusive again. Being unreasonable and legalistic will bring your children to wrath. Being unreasonable. You get it? Even the judicial system tries, they don't do it always right, but to match the crime with the punishment. Match the crime with the punishment. Don't, the whatever they've been disobedient to, make sure that the punishment is equivalent to that. You're never leaving this house until you grow up and get a job. That's a little unreasonable. Are y'all with me? That kind of thing. So you have to be match the. You get it. All right, turn to this. This is our last passage that I want to show you that God disciplines us. All right, real quickly. We're closing right here. Y'all all right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. I'm going to read the NIV and then we're going home. Watch this. And have you completely forgotten this? This word of encouragement that addresses you as a father and addresses his son. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. So God disciplines his children. Watch this. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as his son. He says, if God doesn't discipline you, it's because you're not his son. If God doesn't correct you, he says, that's like me going over here and grabbing somebody else's kid and just start whooping him. Now, in the 60s, you could do that because it was a community, and we have an understanding of that. But y'all wouldn't want me to go over to the children's ministry and start spanking on kids. Come on, somebody. You get it, right? God says, I don't discipline kids that aren't mine. Watch this. Endure hardship as discipline. So the Bible's saying here, discipline is painful. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their who? Again here, it is assumed that fathers have a role in raising and training and disciplining and loving their children. It is assumed. Do y'all see that? The Bible keeps saying this is the dad's role. Our society is jacked up because that is no longer the case in many households. Say amen right there. If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, supposed to, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Next. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, again, assuming that we all did. That is not the case today. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How many of y'all appreciate discipline as a child now? How many of y'all appreciate discipline from the Heavenly Father? You don't like it when it's happening, but you appreciate it because it saved your life from doing something stupid. Right? Right? How much more should we submit to the Father, God of spirits, and live? Next. They disciplined us for a little while, talking about natural fathers, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline, no corrections is fun. It's no fun to be disciplined. Come on, have you ever been corrected? Hate it. It doesn't feel good. But watch what he says. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been, what? Trained. There's that same word again, that same padia. It means to be trained and disciplined by it. So we all need it. It never stops. How does God discipline us? I'm telling you this, and we're going home. Get ready. Number one, by parents. If you got children, God uses parents to discipline them. God isn't going to come and discipline your children. You have to. All right? So parents, number one. Number two, the word of God. God's word will discipline you. It'll say things like, stop sleeping with someone who isn't your spouse. Stop doing these things. That's God's word. Watch this. The Holy Spirit will discipline us on the inside. He'll correct us. Amen. Number three, spiritual authorities, the fivefold ministry, pastors. That's what I'm doing now, trying to help correct. Amen. But what if somebody ain't even going to church? What God will use then is consequences. God will use your poor choices in finances, poor choices in decisions that you make, poor choices that will come back and produce a harvest. And in the middle of that, and that's where many of us unfortunately have to get to, where we feel the pain of that and go, God, I need you. Close your Bible in this place.